Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
A time that what has got me through the issues that I have faced is my alone time with God. Never underestimate a meeting with God. And you never know when God is going to manifest himself to you in a real way. Now realize that God is everywhere. But at times, he manifests himself to you and to me. And those are the times that, man, you can just soak it in. Amen. I want you to go with me in the book of Psalms, chapter 23. I want to talk to you tonight about defeating fear during the virus crisis. Defeating fear. Defeating fear. You know, we talked about Sunday and you know, we're taking the precautions. We're doing those things because it is real. All right. Anybody that don't believe that, you know, well, coronavirus is just made up. Well, you know, you're a moron. It is real. Now, I won't get into other things, but it is real. My matter of fact, my niece has just been diagnosed with it. She's 42, 44. But she works at a nursing home, and she's been diagnosed. Then her husband, who is a physical therapist, woke up this morning. They think he may have it. They're going to go do some tests. She's been quarantined. They have four kids. I forgot they had twins, but they got four kids. And so it's real. But what the enemy wants to do is to cause you to be so fearful that you lose faith. Well, Pastor, what happens if I get it? I believe that God is big enough to keep you and to keep me if we do get it. And even if he doesn't keep you and me, I still believe that he could and that he can, right? I mean, you know, I had somebody tell me one day, they says, "You're impossible to argue with." I go, "Yeah, I am." Because number one, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to argue with it. You know? Well, you can't have it both ways. Yes, you can. That's what the Hebrews boys did, right? When they threw him into the fiery furnace, they said, "Our God shall deliver us out of it." But even if he don't, it still doesn't change the fact that he could. Oh, Pastor, that's just a crutch. Man, I don't want to walk without it. I don't want to walk without that crutch of faith. So in the book of Psalms, of course, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I'm skipping down to verse 4. "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Could we just say that last couple of lines together? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I want you to point at him, "For you are with me." Because let me tell you something. I'm your pastor, but let me tell you something I've learned about people. People will leave you. People will leave you. And you go, I have fielded more phone calls from pastors and I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to do it. But I've had pastors tell me, "The people I thought would stay with me didn't stay." And you're right. Some of you, "Well, I thought my first six husbands would stay with me, but they didn't. And the one you with is like Liz Taylor, won't be with you long." But anyway, people will leave you, but God will be with you. When times get tough, you know, I remember I've told this story before. Thank you, musicians. I could use that probably the whole time, but thank you. I told this story before, but when I was in high school, there was a big gang of us went into this bathroom that was off limits to us in the high school, and we went in there to take over. And we had a big group of guys, and we went over and said, we're going to go in there and just kick some tail, and ain't nobody going to run over us. So, man, we walked up in there like we was bad and started talking trash. And I looked around, and I'm the only one in there. With the other people who was in there, we was going to go fight. Every one of them sap suckers left me. I hope you watching, you little coward. So you know what happened. I whipped everybody in there. No, I talked trash, and they started kind of fronting on me. And I went, oh, crap. And I took off running. I ain't no fool. Amen. But people will leave you, man. But God said, fear no evil, for I am with you. And man, if you can get that part down, that even in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of your depression, in the midst of your anxiety, God is with you. And if you've got somebody with you, it just makes things better. That's why, oh Jesus, Lord, why are you getting me to go in like this? I'm saying this, Jesus, because it ain't in my notes. And I'm going to blame it on him, whether it is him or not. And I know, you know, I've taught my daughters, especially, you know, one of them's married now. Before you get married, if they're going to treat you that way before you get married, it's going to get worse. You know, we were somewhere, and I went around and opened my door. This is just yesterday or the day before, and I went around and opened the door for my wife, which I always do. And they go, oh, a gentleman, you don't see that very often. My wife said he does it all the time. Because, you know, I want to know what changed in their relationship, right? And so, I don't know how I got off on this. But it must be for somebody. But some folks will hang on to people who ain't the right one. Now listen, if you married, I'm sorry. You didn't ask Jesus about that, so you got to pray for them and you. Pray for you. That's why I don't play that. I've seen something we're flipping through the channels. 90-day fiancé or marriage or something like that junk. This generation is the stupidest generation I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry, baby. My daughter is looking at me. That's right. Bachelor or bachelorette. That's so stupid. And you wonder why you ain't working out. There's this thing called courting. I know it's old-fashioned. But you ought to court it. You ought to court her. You know? Well, but Pastor, nobody buys a car without taking it out for a test drive. Well, nobody wants a car with 100,000 miles on it either. Well, let me just move on. I'll get out of the way here. Let me just move on. But some people stay with folks just because they don't want to be lonely. You know, here's what I've learned. I like me. And I'm all right with just me. I ain't ever thought about suicide. I think all the time about killing other people. But never me. I like me. I think I'm pretty cool. I'm just saying. 2 Corinthians 1:7 says, and our hope for you is firm. Because we know that just as you share in sufferings, you will also share in God's comfort. So tonight is more of a teaching application, life application. So I want to give you a few things for you to remember during this pandemic. And I really believe, the states are starting to open back up a little bit. And so I believe that we're on the other side of this thing. I think everybody did their job of flattening the curve. And however, my curve didn't flatten. It kind of grew. I don't know about that. Amen. They had to start using a wide angle lens on me when we was doing this. But anyway, but I think we're on the backside. But I want you to, I just want to give you some things. What we know is what gets us through. Now I want you to hear that again. What we know is what gets us through. Too many people are listening to too many sources. And you're buying into stuff. Well, that's why I only watch Fox. Man, they will mess you up too. It's ratings. I'm going to get off that. All right, let me give you number one. Number one, this. Remember, not everything I hear is true. Not everything I hear is true. How many have heard some crazy stuff? All right, everybody, yeah. How many of you have read it and just laughed? I'm like, who wrote this? You know, this is off the subject, but it's people believe this. You know, I don't do a lot of Instagram, but I got an account and I'm trying to get a little bit better at it because some of you want me to and some of you don't want me to, but anyway, I'm doing it. And so I got this friend request. You know, I've preached all over the world, so I don't know who's who. And so they you know, I was like, oh, I don't know. Okay, yeah, sure. And they go, hey, Ronnie, how are you? I go, I'm fine. How are you? Oh, I'm doing great. How's your morning going? I said, how do I know you? I work for Facebook in California, and there's $600,000 and a truck, blah, blah, with your name on it. And I went, really? Tell me more. I just like messing with people. Sherry might get mad at me if I say this one. Let's see. See if I want to get in trouble or not. I had somebody call the other day, and it was a dude. They go, is Sherry there? I go, are you trying to cheat on my wife with me or with my wife? Are you the man cheating on me? Or cheating on my wife? No, 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 no. I said, I'm going to kill you. Click. I just like messing with people. It is so fun. Not everything that you hear is true. Like, I'm not going to kill that person. I can't find it. And plus, anyway, don't base your decisions on faulty statistics, on fads, not on fantasies, not fake news, not false reports, and definitely not on fears and feelings. You cannot base your decisions on your fears and your feelings because the devil wants you to feed into your fears. See, And I understand why we've been quarantined and all that, but man, that just fits right into the plot of the enemy. The devil don't want you to be with somebody who's going to fight you out of a bad attitude. The devil don't want you to be with somebody who's going to tell you what the Word of God says instead of what CNN says. Now check this out. This is from The Message. I'm going to use a lot of different translations tonight. But The Message in Proverbs 14:15, I love the way it says it. This. It says, the gullible believe anything they're told, but the prudent sifts and weighs every word. You know, people go, I've given people the words before. This doesn't happen all the time, trust me. But I've answered a question with the Word of God, and they go, wow, that is so wise. It wasn't me. It was the wisest man, Proverbs, he wrote it, you know. It wasn't me. Proverbs 13:16 says, the prudent man always acts out of knowledge. But see, we've given up, and I've dealt with this a little while ago, we've given up this thing that was years ago called absolute truth. And now we have adapted that there is no such thing as absolute truth. So we base everything on the way I feel. So if I feel this way, then, you know, the way that I feel is the way that I believe. And doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be facts, any facts around it. I just believe this way. I just believe that God loves us too much to send us anyone to hell. You're right. You're going to send yourself. But let me move on. Here's why. Here's why you can't live by your feelings and by fear. Because feelings are highly unreliable. And fear never helps. Have you ever thought one way, took a nap, and got up feeling a different way? Why? Because feelings change. You know, how about this? How about you feel one way, but then you eat a Snickers, and it completely changes your... Only me, right? Yeah. Or you know, if you're some people's, if you're like some people on the fifth row, you know, you have one way, but now you eat some oats. Yeah, you're on the fifth row there, Van Fleet. So anyway, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing, man. Let me show you what God has to say about this. All right? Write these down. Proverbs 18:13. This is from the Living Bible. What a shame. Yes, it is folly to decide before knowing the facts. Man, I used to, you know, one of the funniest things, my dad died at 89 years old, just a few years younger just a few weeks shy of his 90th birthday. And I would crack up. I would go to his house sometimes. And the funniest thing to do with my dad is watch Divorce Court with my dad. It was hilarious. Now, you got to remember, my dad is an old Southerner, so it was hilarious. He'd be watching it, or we'd be watching it, and I'd just be watching him. I'd bump my wife, Sherika, watch it. Here we go. My dad would be like, what? Well, no wonder. Well, I can't believe she didn't kill him. Well, Lord, have mercy. And then, you know, then the commercial, then it comes back, and now it's his turn. And then, my God. Well, no wonder he cheated. Oh, my Lord. And it just completely flips it around once you know the other side of the story. See, and that's what we've got to be careful, is that we don't look at everything through one side of knowledge. So the Bible's telling us to don't make decisions before you have all of the facts. Here's what he said in 18:2. A foolish person doesn't care about the facts. How many know somebody like that? How many sit next to somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. They don't care about the facts. All he wants to do is yell. Proverbs 14:8, Living Bible again. The wise man looks ahead. The foolish person attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. Proverbs 23:23. Get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to good sense. God help me to hold on to good sense. My dad used to tell me, son, they tell me you got to have sense to go crazy. Some of you are like, I'm about to go crazy. No, you got to have sense in order to go crazy. Point number two, let me move on. Remember, not everyone is at equal risk. Not everyone is at equal risk. You know, and you know, we've got our church set up to do the social distancing thing, but some chose not to come, and that's cool. Some, you don't need to be in a crowd. You don't need to be in a crowd. You need to do what is necessary. You need to do what is for your own health, because not everybody is at equal risk. The most vulnerable, we understand, people are those who are over 60 years of age. It's not children. It's those who are over 60 years of age with some kind of preconditioning, or pre-existing condition, or with some kind of weakened immune system. And why the problem is with children is that them little monkeys are carriers. Right? I mean, my God, you can't hurt them kids. They just, woo, get over it, you know. And well, they carry it on to grandma and granddaddy, and then they all up in the hospital. So, but if you're in that category, you know, as a church, we want you to stay away. We want you to, you know, we love you and we want you here, but we want you to be safe because we do not want to be doing your funeral. We want to help protect you, and that's one of the reasons why we do what we do. You know, our staff has been working together. We've been here at the church, and I told them the other day, I said, if we going to get it, we done got it. If you got it, I got it, because we've been working close. I mean, I thought about this, you know, because I'm thinking of the optics. I thought, well, you know, if I really want to be blah, 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 then I need to get a wet wipe, a disinfectant, and do this on the mic every time me and Justin changes it. Because, I mean, he's been eating dog food. I don't know if y'all saw that video yesterday. That was pretty funny. You need to go by and look at it. They ate some jelly beans that were like dog food, barf. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I laughed till I cried. Him and Pastor Anthony did this competition. It was hilarious. One of them was a stink bug. I almost threw up. Because he ate it, it was bad. Then he burped. Oh, Jesus God. Some memories came back right then. All right, number three. Here's the one I love. Remember, this will pass. This, too, will pass. You know, there were, I believe, 13 famines recorded in the Bible, and all of them had the same common denominator, is at some point in time they came to pass. Some of them were severe. You know, one of them was 3.5 years. One of them was 7 years. You know, but this too shall pass. So understand, you know, the Bible said in 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked when you're going through painful trials and fiery tests of life. The Bible says in the world you will have tribulation, but don't be surprised and don't be shocked. I mean, you know, I'm going to deal with a little bit of this on Sunday, but we live in a broken world. And that's why we have some of the issues and conditions that we have. You know, I'm going to go and deal with it a little bit right now. Why in the world is there illnesses on the planet, Pastor? Well, since evil and sin entered the world, nothing works perfectly. Nothing works perfectly. You know, I believe bad breath is because of Eve. Adam and Eve. You know, and let me tell you, some of you young people. Some of you young people, especially you little tweens and all the, let me just tell you, you see that stuff on TV? Ain't no married couple up in this house. Wake straight up and start kissing. No. Yeah. Hey, Ashlyn, you listening to me? Uh-huh. Yeah, you're surprised. See, you gotta pay attention. Ain't no married couple on this planet. Any married couples, can I get a good amen? Amen? I love my wife. I love the ground she walks on. But when we wake up, we're like, morning. We brush our teeth, then we'll get a little sugar. But before, mm-mm. I'm afraid mine will be like that stink bug. Amen. But nothing works perfectly. Everything, listen, I want you to understand that everything on the planet is broken. The weather is broken. I mean, come on, guys. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to get into this global warming and all that stuff, but I'm just telling you that the planet is broken. And it's broken because of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's broken. The weather's broken. The economy is broken. Your plans are broken. Nothing works perfectly in life. How many of you put together the perfect plans and it doesn't work out? Oh, it never works out. Because we're living a broken world. There's nothing. Your body is broken. It doesn't work perfectly. I don't care how much exercise you do. Because if you do too much exercise, you break it with the exercise. Plus, I'm scriptural. And the Bible says in Proverbs, nobody runs without somebody chasing after them. Or you know, he says, a fool runneth when no one's chasing him. I'm just trying to be godly. Sin broke everything on earth. Isaiah 24:5 says, the earth suffers for the sins of its people. For they are twisted the instructions of God, violated his laws, and broken his commandments. Therefore, verse 19, the earth has broken down and has utterly collapsed. Everything is lost, abandoned, and confused. You think about this. The plants doesn't cause evil on the earth. Even the animals doesn't cause evil on the earth. We are the ones that cause evil on the earth. We're the ones that are selfish, self-centered. We cause problems in society and in the environment and everywhere else we go. If you want, if we say, well, you know, why did God allow sin and evil? And I dealt with that a couple of Sundays ago. But it's because he allows us free choice. And if he wanted to take away evil, he'd have to take away our choice. And then that would take away his goodness, which gives us free choice. You know, if God wants to get rid of evil, all he's got to do is get rid of you and me. Right? Because we're the ones who cause evil. I mean, you know, they spend billions of dollars. I read this, the study. They spent literally like a $1 or $2 billion to study why salmon swim upstream. I could have saved the money. Because God said so. God said, when you grow up, you're going to come back here and you're going to spawn there. Okie dokie. Only man has rebelled against our purpose. You're here to worship me. No, I want to worship me. You're here to do my bidding. I want to do what I want to do. We're the ones who have rebelled. We are the ones who have brought evil. We're the ones that are that caused the trouble. God could eliminate it if he just got rid of us. But 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, for our temporal, momentary troubles will not last. Praise God. They will not last. But they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we focus not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank God. Thank God. Point number four is this. Remember to focus on what is unchanging. See, we want to focus on, you know, I mean, we're doing church differently. I mean, who would have ever thought in my lifetime that we'd have to register for church? What is this, China? Or China? What is this? Why don't you register? You know, and you got some people, oh, by God, I ain't registering for church. Yeah, and you're rebellious. And the Bible says this rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. So what are you, witch or warlock? But let me move on. But you understand what I'm saying? Never before. So we have to do church different. We have to come in different. We have to leave different. We got somebody out there getting you some hand sanitizer. Just you? Where are you from? Old Home Assassin. No, really, where? Yankee Town? I'm kidding. Are those your children? Let me give you some more. No. Shelby, you did a great job today. That's right. All right, so, but it's, everything is different, right? But instead of looking at everything, well, I don't like all these changes. Well, let's focus on what is unchanging. The love of God is unchanging. The grace of God is unchanging. His Holy Spirit is unchanging. The moving and the wooing of his Holy Spirit is unchanging. His love for you is unchanging. His grace is still available. His blood is unchanging. And Jesus said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's focus on what hasn't changed. Corona changed a lot of things, but Jesus has changed some things in me, and he's not going to stop changing me, because that's what he does. God cares about what I'm going through. That hasn't changed. has the power to answer my prayer. That hadn't changed. God always acts out of the goodness to me. He's a good, good Father. Here's one. God will never stop loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Number five, remember, no matter what I go through, God will go through it with me. You know what I'm excited about that is God don't just stand off and go, I see you. Go ahead, stupid. But God comes along beside you. And he says, come on, stupid. If you're not going to listen to me, I'm still going to be with you. Let's get through this thing. But if at some point in time, if you want to listen to me, I'm right here. Well, I don't know how to get out of this situation. There is not a pit that God doesn't know how to get out of. There is nowhere that you can go that God doesn't know how to walk you out of that. There's not a wilderness too deep that God doesn't know how to make a path in the middle of that wilderness or a stream in the middle of that desert and get you out of that situation. You might not get you out when you want him to get out, but if you will just hold to his unchanging hand, he will bring you through it and on the other side of it, because he has invested too much in your life to let you go down without a fight. Come on, somebody. Every stage, every phase, every crisis, no matter what I go through, God is going to go through it with me. Well, Pastor, I lost my job. God went through it with you. Pastor, I'm in marital crisis. God is there with you. No matter what you go through, God will be there with you if you allow him to. But you got to allow him to. And let me go a little bit step further. Even if you don't allow him to, he's there. And he's as close as the mention of his name. All you got to do is call on him, man. You will never really ever be alone. God is with you. It doesn't mean that you don't feel alone at times. But he's there. You know, I remember a friend of mine used to go to church. I ain't going to call your name. But I've been watching your post. It's getting worse and worse. Your mouth. See, listen. People go, well, Pastor, is cussing really that bad? Well, you can start telling when people get out of church. Because you didn't used to use that language, but now on your Facebook post you're using it. I'm just stating the facts, folks. Who is that? Car 54? Just the facts, ma'am. I'm just stating the facts. Squirrel. Anyway, just stating the facts. And you know, but that happened with Peter, right? Peter said, they said, hey, you're one of them church people. No, not me. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. He says, your speech says you are. And the Bible says he started cussing. Blankety, blank, blank, blank. No, I'm not. Well, I guess you're not. But we have just the opposite in this society. Blankety, blank, 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 blank. I'm the pastor. Not me, I'm just saying. No. Anyway, let me move on. Y'all do this to me. I didn't do this when I was just preaching to the camera. Somehow I just feel what you need. But speaking of feeling, God is not a feeling. Well, I don't feel God. I did this to one lady one time. Because, you know, I'm always very kind. And you laugh. I'm always kind. This lady said, Pastor, I don't feel God. And God let me down. I go, he don't, and she goes, and he don't hear my prayer. I said, well, I'd just cuss God if I was you. She said, what? I said, just haul off and cuss God. She goes, I will not. He will hear me. So I got my point across. You think God will hear you cussing him but not praying to him. Because as a father, I can tune my children out when they just whining. Well, I'm too old now. I can't. I will what's the word? I will crack them. I found that word. That's a new word. One of the grandmas told me I would just crack them. So I will crack mine now. But anyway, I could tune them out when they got younger. But if they really needed me, their voice changed. Their vocabulary changed. And do you think that I'm going to walk by them when they're saying, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I just want you to draw me closer to you. Dad, I just want to know your heart. I'm like, what? Who are you and what'd you do with my child? You understand what I'm saying? So, but God's not a feeling. He is with you right now. And I love Isaiah 43. We used to sing a song to it. But it goes, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the water, you will not be burned. It will not consume you. Would you just look at somebody and say, this ain't going to consume me. I'm going to come out different, I know, but it ain't going to consume me. I'm going to come out better instead of bitter. I'm going to come out better on the other side. Me and Jesus, we're going to have some things worked out in my life by the time I come out the other side. I'm not coming out a punk. That ought to give you some confidence. That ought to give you some stability. That ought to replace some of your panic with prayer. It ought to replace your worry with worship. And it ought to replace your anxiety with adoration. That God is with me. Number six. I got two more and I'm done. Remember, this is not the end of the story. It's the end. Oh, God, it's the end. No, it's not. There's chapters still to be written. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Take it, Jane. You ain't Jane. Anthony was singing it with me. I'm messing with you, John. You know it was. See, Jane knows every lyric to every song ever written on the planet. Every Christian one. She even knows songs about watermelon. Don't you? Yeah. All right. We'll let you do that one day for a special. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, then God will wipe away every tear. Man, can you imagine that? And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. This too shall pass. This is not the end of the story. And then my last little point is number seven. Remember that God wants me to help others. You know, don't get aggravated when people are, just try to help them. Try to help them. Help themselves. Can I get an amen? Amen. So that was good, wasn't it? That was good. Who's he talking to? They know. God wants me to help others. What does that mean? In whatever capacity that you can. You know, your neighbor, there's somebody that needs your voice in their life. And you never know when it's going to happen. You know, there's a man at a friend of mine's church that when the friend of mine was a youth pastor, this kid came in off the street and gave his heart to Christ, went away from the Lord many years, and has just came back and is becoming one of the greatest helpers in that church. You never know how God is going to repay what you do. See, here's what I don't do things saying I expect something back, because you are not the source or the reward for what I do. I do what I do so that God may bring back to me what I need whenever I need it and how I need it. And that's what we got to get into our mind. God wants me to help others. But as I'm helping others, it's sowing seeds into their life and into my own life for when I need help. Because here's what Ephesians 6, 8 says, that what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Now, who would I rather? You know, listen, I've known James Brewer, which is Anthony's granddad. I've known James for a long time now. And matter of fact, when James Brewer and I were on the state council together, and when he left, they started calling me James. And they thought it was a jab. That's what I was looking for. They thought it was a little jab. I go, I take that as a compliment. Because he was the only one who would speak his mind. But anyway, I said that. But anyway, I've known him for a long time. And I know that if it's in his ability, he would do whatever he could for me. But there are some things that I need that's not in his ability. And I could take anybody in this room. You know, I could take Jerry. I could take whatever his name is. Don. Whew. Yeah, it's been a while. Been a while since I saw you. Last time I saw you, you had hair. No, you got a haircut. Just kidding. But I'm saying I could be dependent on what I've done for other people. And how many know we do that sometimes? I've done all this for them. I've done it. I've done all this for them, and they just turn around and stab me in the back and won't give me the time of day. Well, I need to ask myself the question. Who am I depending on? Who did I really do it for? Because people, as I started to say in the beginning, will leave you and let you down. But God will never leave you. He will repay. So just keep planting, man. Keep doing good to others and let God do good to you. Let me give you a few scripture and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Together, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of that body. 3 John 1 and 2. Dear friends, we are praying that all will be well with you and that your body will be as healthy as your soul is. And then John 13:35. You will know, or let your love for each other will show the world that you are my disciples. Let's keep loving one another. Let's keep reaching out to one another. Let's keep sowing seeds of mercy and grace to one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't fear. God's got this. Don't live in fear. Live in faith. Amen. Stand to your feet in this place tonight. Can we do the good Father? Let's do that one. Come, we're going to sing this and we're going to dismiss. But I want us to sing this, a good Father.
And I've heard a thousand stories.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.